Land.
Hi, I'm Jim Stroud. Welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge. The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry, and it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
SGA Executive Tracker Pro is an online service providing contact information on thousands of executives at each of the top public and private companies. And hear this, people. It is 100%, yes, 100% telephone verified, constantly updated, highly accurate, and comprehensive. With SGA Executive Tracker Pro, you have at your fingertips the contact information of C-level executives and all of those essential director and management level personnel that you just can't seem to find anywhere else. Listen up, people. SGA Executive Tracker Pro can dramatically shorten the amount of time it takes you to find the best leads. Hey, pick up the phone right now and give them a call. Tell them Jim Stroud said I could have a free 15-minute online demonstration of your product, and I want to see it right now. The number you need to make that happen is 518-843-4611. That's 518-843-4611. And, of course, you can also find them online at www.sgaexecutivetracker.com.
Everyone, this is another session of the Recruiting Lounge, and Jim, for some reason, said I can start it off today. So, hi, everyone, and I'm Karen Matinen, and I'm here with my wonderful host, Jim Stroud.
Hello, everybody.
You don't sound as enthused as I do.
Hey, everybody, I'm Jim Stroud.
You shouldn't have let me, but hey, you didn't have to twist my arm too hard.
Well, no, that's true. You jump right in there. And it was a good job, too, by the way.
Thank you.
So what is going on? Oh, I know what's going on. What's going on is that it's becoming more and more a one-world economy. Should I say one-world economy? I'll say a one-world workforce. That's what I'll call it.
Global. It's a global workforce.
Global workforce? Okay. A global one-world workforce.
Yeah.
Maybe I should patent that name. Does anyone else use that? One-world workforce?
One-world workforce. That sounds good.
Yeah, maybe we'll stick that. Okay, I'm going to patent that name so nobody else steal it. But we're becoming more and more of a one-world workforce, and we're gradually seeing, very gradually, like super gradually, but I think it's going to happen more and more, of companies adopting certain practices that heretofore, that's a legal term, heretofore were only recognized in the United States, but maybe recognized in other countries, or were recognized in one country but not here in the United States. And I'm rambling because it was an interesting blog post Karen and I were talking about earlier from Recruitnik, I think it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was about this person was being interviewed in Japan.
Let me explain that a little better. Recruitnik had a post there. She kind of cross-linked to another post where she felt, well, would you be offended? If you were asked.
Oh, wait, wait. Plug her blog because we're talking about her.
Okay. I'm not sure what the actual email is or website address is on.
Okay, I'll post it on the blog. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, she had a question that was said, would you be offended if you were asked certain questions like what was being asked in, say, countries like Japan or, you know, like in some places like in Europe? And when they're asking, like, women, are you planning to get pregnant soon, or do you drink, or things like that, things that would be considered completely illegal here in America,
Can you imagine asking Americans that?
Well, of course they can. It would be the EEOC and it's...
Well, I mean,
right?
Here in the States, it would be like an easy lawsuit.
Well, when they went to the article, one of the things that... Now, she asked that question, too. She was wondering, is it because we're a little bit more stuffier than these individuals, and they're a bit more retroactive than we are, they're a little bit more avant-garde? She didn't use those words. Or is it just that these companies just haven't come with it yet, or the countries haven't gotten with it yet, okay? I mean, the article stated that with the global economy, the Americans who are being hired for these foreign countries, mm-hmm. they need to be prepared for these type of questions.
Now, are these the most outrageous questions they'll ask? You know, are you married? Do you have kids? Do they ask you anything about your sexual preferences or anything like that?
I'm sure they probably do. I mean, there's no legal right or wrong in some of these countries. Okay, like Japan, they don't have an EEOC.
Okay, so if someone, say, was hiring for a popular nightclub spot or something,
mm-hmm.
and they have a lot of older gentlemen come in, and they'll say, okay, in this club, you know, the men here get kind of frisky. You know, are you straight or are you gay? Because if you're gay, that might be an issue with you, or maybe straight might be an issue with you.
So you're trying to say that this could be a bona fide occupation qualification. And by the way, yeah, we don't mind you taking tips if they want to fill you up kind of thing, right?
Right. Can you ask that? You could ask that legally in Japan, I guess you're telling
me. I'm sure that you can legally ask it because, like this one girl said, you know, they asked her if she was drinking, and when she drank, and she's, even though she's a modest drinker, she says in Japan, you know, they go out a lot and they drink a lot, part of their meetings, and so they want to make sure that you can kind of feel comfortable hanging out in that type of environment. But that would not be something that would be considered kosher in America. Now, she was asking a question, and all basically was, are, you know, Americans, first off, they were saying in the article, Americans needed to get adopted to this. We need to get accustomed.
Hmm.
And they think that these countries are going to be able to continue to do so. Well, I don't see that. And the reason I don't see that, I think with the Internet, people become more and more savvy about their rights.
Hmm.
And England, for example, and I'm going to give them Great Britain a perfect two fingers up on this one, too.
Two fingers up?
Two fingers up.
Not two thumbs up?
That's what I meant, really. Two thumbs up. Thank you. Okay.
You've been to McDonald's recently, haven't you?
I'm blushing here. Okay, yeah, two thumbs up. Okay, so let me tell you, because England adopted their own version of the EEOC back in 2006, November 2006. They just merged all three groups in October 2007. But they now have realized and recognized that they needed to create an EEOC down there because they saw that they had a problem with people being on the dole. That's like unemployment here. Mm-hmm. And they had a law issue of long-term unemployment. And they were recognizing that this was due to a lot of discrimination. So they said, hey, we need to have an EEOC in our own country. And that is what we'll see more and more countries are going to start establishing this too, and especially with the power of the Internet.
Hmm.
You know, and especially too, the United Nations has just really been getting very aggressive themselves on the same topic. They just reported back in June of 2007 a very big, but a comprehensive report on discrimination and in the workplace. And they said the global picture of job-related discrimination is tremendously pathetic,
hmm.
and that we needed to fight it. And they saw it based on sex, race, religion, sexual orientation, HIV, AIDS, status, and disability. They're quoted that the condemnation of discrimination in employment and occupation is today almost universal, as is the political commitment to tackle it. They said 9 out of 10 ILO member states had ratified the two core conventions on discrimination. So they're fighting it, too, because they said, too, that unfortunately that it makes it unequal, insecure, and very unsafe, but it also prevents society from realizing the full potential of today's globalized economy.
Wow.
In other words, if you are going to discriminate, you're really not reaching your own potential of how much money you can make.
Hmm.
Let's take a young company, and I'm rambling here, but I'm not.
Okay, okay, go ahead.
This is interesting.
You can ramble.
Let's say I'm going to open a company, okay?
All right.
And I am going to sell whatever, widgets. And I decide I only want to hire people under the age of 30.
Right.
And the problem is that these widgets could be sold to people who are 60, 50, and 40. And that's also the people right now in America who have the most potential buying power, too, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so these kids who are going to try to sell it to a person who's 40 or 50, they don't have the understanding of mentality of a 40 or 50-year-old, and they're going to try selling it to them. They're not going to be able to say, hey, this is how it's going to work in your world. This is based upon your experience. They won't be able to feel that person why they would need it. You know what I mean? They
right.
can't relate.
Right.
So it's the same thing with minorities. You know, for some reason, sometimes it's having a minority selling to another minority group or having minorities that at least teach you how to sell to another minority group. If you had an all-white company,
mm-hmm.
and how are you going to be able to empathize with the other minorities in the world?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that because it would cost me money. Just for your example, you're saying there.
Yeah, and the thing is, but unfortunately, companies don't see that. And companies are so unproductive in that way. You see a lot of companies, even Google had been accused of this. Google has been accused of being extremely young. You know, great ideas, they know how to bring it to the table, but they don't know how to be mature enough to establish the idea and have it really continue down the market. They've come up with a lot of new little widgets, gadgets, and brands, but they've never been able to fully put a full-focus market on it.
I got a news flash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get news flashes from our readers, and people send us stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is interesting. You know the New York governor, Elliot Spitzer?
Mm-hmm. I like him.
You like him?
I do. The guy's got – he – I like him. He
did something that was – which you may like, but it'll cause a lot of guys to go, cringe. So I don't know if I'm telling myself if I cringe at this, but I'm cringing at it as I read this. I'm going,
mm-hmm.
All right. New York governor Elliot Spitzer
mm-hmm.
has signed into law legislation that requires employers to give women time off to express milk or nurse their children for a period of time, up to 3 years, following the birth of a child. Now, the laws went into effect immediately, and this
mm-hmm.
is in New York, not Atlanta, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
It bars employers from discriminating against an employee who chooses to express milk in the workplace. And requires employers to make a reasonable effort to provide private space for women to express milk or nurse their children. I don't want to see that.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, my husband, I mean, that's what they're saying. You don't want to see it. And they
no.
That's why they want to give them the opportunity to go to a private room.
Opportunity, but what if there's not one?
Well, that's what they have to create one.
That's an added expense for the company.
It's called reasonable accommodation.
That's an added expense for the company.
Well,
okay, let me ask you this. What if I hired, seven Muslim workers to do whatever, and at certain times of the day they want to pray towards the east, I believe, that's how it goes,
mm-hmm.
And so they don't have I don't have a prayer room for them to pray on the workplace. Do I have to make a reasonable accommodation for them
HP
to have that?
HP won that lawsuit, by the way.
Who?
HP won that lawsuit.
So you don't have to create a prayer room if you hire Muslims who want to pray at certain times of the day?
I know that HP won the lawsuit the first time around, so I'm not sure if the lawsuit's gone back. So please don't come back and say, oh, you're wrong, because they could have gone. I know it was supposed to have gone. They were contesting this, okay?
Mm.
But it comes down to, is it unreasonable? Is it going to be making unreasonable conditions for the company itself? Are they going to lose money? And it's like, for example, if you only have seven employees,
mm-hmm.
then that would be considered unreasonable accommodation. Possibly.
Unreasonable
if you have to go
to the cop,
and make
because
a new,
it's so low. Make it so low.
Right. I mean, it's like, okay, can you let this woman go off for about an hour and let her come back home? Can she be back in an hour? She can go on her lunch break, in other words. Or can you really just turn that little scared storage room at the end of the hallway into a nursing room? I mean, it's like, is that unreasonable? Okay? And is it going to really
break the bed? That's so subjective. You can't put that in the writing because it's so subjective.
No, it's not, because reasonable means it's like, is it really going to break the bank for her to be away for an hour? That's really, I mean, she could do it in her lunch break. She could do it then. And this is what they're saying. What's considered reasonable accommodation? If it's not going to cost the company tons and tons of money, like they don't have to go make a brand new room. If you have 50 employees or more, that's not considered unreasonable. If you have less than 50 employees, then that could be considered unreasonable.
Hmm.
Okay, and that depends on the state when I say 50. Now, like, for example, my husband, they have that at his company where he works.
Right.
And what they do is they created that the break room during a specific time is off limits to certain people.
Why?
Because that's when the women are doing that.
See, I just don't want to see that.
No, you aren't. Nobody's seeing that. They're in there privately doing
it. This is a show. See, this is we should have Al Bundy here. You've watched the
show. And by the way, they keep the milk in the fridge. They keep it in the
fridge. See, I don't want to see that.
No?
You remember the show Married with Children?
Pardon?
You remember the show Married with Children?
Yeah.
Do you remember the character Al Bundy?
Of Al Bundy, though.
I'm having Al Bundy moment. There's something about
Al
Bundy.
Bundy
I just like. Now, if Al Bundy were here,
mm-hmm.
and if I can find a video clip of Al Bundy on this issue, because they did a show about this,
mm-hmm.
and did a show where Al was in the shoe store,
mm-hmm.
and some woman came in to buy some shoes, so
mm-hmm.
He went to back to get some shoes or something to show her,
mm-hmm.
and while he was gone, she started nursing the child. So when he walked back in and saw her nursing, he was like, ah, hey, no, not here. Go in the bathroom. Go somewhere else. I don't want to see that in the workplace.
So that's
you know? And so wait a minute. So she got offended and went to Marcy. You know, Marcy is mm-hmm. his arch enemy and next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gathered a group of women together who were all mm-hmm. nursing, and they all came in and had a milk in
mm-hmm.
in his store. Now, that's a bit extreme,
that's
sure.
Extreme.
But I can just imagine if someone taking a time to make a political statement along the lines in the office for that.
What he's saying, look, is just make reasonable accommodations so you don't have to see it, okay? He's saying, look, you don't want to see it, and that's fair, so put her, and she doesn't want you to have to see it, so put her in a nice place that she feels comfortable. And that.
But what if there's no nice places on the premises?
It's only like 20 minutes to do so anyways. Hey, because she has to do it. I mean, unfortunately, a woman who's nursing,
so wait a minute. So that means that they have to bring their children to work and
no,
nurse them?
No, they don't. What they're doing is they extract. They don't have to bring their kids to work. And that's
they go in the back and use a breast
Yes, a breast pump.
Yeah.
And so what you have to do it. That's the problem. If they don't do it, it's not healthy. I mean, put that way. I'm not going to give you all the biological things that happen.
Okay.
It's this way. It's not healthy for the kid because the kid's not going to get milk eventually. And it's not healthy for the woman because it hurts the woman tremendously. It's a lot of pain. And so, I know, but let me tell you something.
Okay, I'm gonna be really male here.
Well, that's because you know
I just don't want to see that in the office.
You're not
there
going to
be
it.
A
that's
law.
What he's, saying, is he's trying to make sure that you don't have to see it, huh?
But if there are no, okay, now you're saying about reasonable accommodation, but if there are no, what if there are no accommodations? I guess you can always go to the bathroom, right?
That's right. And then what they're saying is let the woman, without any discrimination, be able to say, I have to go and do it, and not the boss doesn't say, well, you can't do it, you have to work, you know. Or, you know, they are saying, okay, at a set time, and it's always a set time, you can do it, too. So they say, between 1 and 1:15, I have to take a break, boss, to go either to the bathroom, wherever. And
present my baby latte.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, I don't want anybody else in the office to see it because I'm a little concerned.
Oh, women are going to hate me for this podcast.
They will. No, they're not going to hate you because I don't hate you for this.
Wow.
I just recognize that you have never had the experience or
seen it. No. I have children, but I mean, it's like I don't do it, see it in the workplace. It's a place for everything.
Yeah, but guess what? That part of life is like going to the bathroom. You know, you have to go to the bathroom. I don't want to see you going to the bathroom, but you have to go to the bathroom, and your boss can't tell you can't go. Well, it's kind of like that. It's a bodily function that needs to be done.
You know who won't have this problem?
What?
Bill Gates, because he's retiring.
He's
retiring
from Microsoft. Before we go there, I wanted to mention something about Spitzer. I wanted to let people know about this new law that came about, too.
Okay, come on, go on, talk about Bill.
Before I talk, you want to talk about Bill first?
No. Go ahead so we can talk about Bill.
Spitzer, you know, well, right now the big, huge thing that the government's cracking down on is misclassification. And our
misclassification of what?
Employees. Where, you see, there's a lot of companies, especially in our industry.
Wait a minute. This isn't the – you're a contractor.
I'm going to give you a full definition.
/ employee.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to keep you a contract because I don't want to pay benefits for you.
Right.
Didn't company get sued for that?
Oh,
there are quite a few.
I did not say one. FedEx
one.
Just got major, massive. I think it was 300 million. They just came off 300 something million.
Who got paid? Who?
FedEx just recently. It was like 2 days ago.
FedEx got taxed. Well, I won't say taxed, but they
not
got
taxed.
Hit. They got hit 300 million.
I think it was 300 million for misclassification.
For keeping people on as contractors for forever because they don't want to pay them employee benefits.
So they were calling. Well, see, what happened is I think it was misclassification. Don't quote me on this. I know they just got hit with 300 million, okay? And I believe it was misclassification, but it could have been discrimination. So I'm not sure exactly which one was, okay? What happens is that I don't want to pay you benefits, or I don't want to also pay you Social Security, and I don't want to pay you workman's comp.
Well, it's expensive. It's to pay to play.
Anything.
But
I don't want to pay any of those FICA, BICA, anything, okay? I mean, so what happens is I'm just going to go ahead and call you a contract recruiter. I'll call you a contractor. I'll call you all kinds of names, okay?
Super consultant guy.
Yeah, whatever. But yet I'm still treating you as an employee. In other words, I'm having you come into the office. I'm being your boss. I'm telling you how to do your work. Mm. I'm paying your expenses. I'm paying your business card. I pay your drive. I mean, I give you a salary, the whole thing, okay?
Mm.
And unfortunately, that's no can do. You're not a contractor. See, remember we talked about an I-9 in an earlier podcast?
Right.
Or a 1090, okay? There's an I-9 worker or there's a 1090, okay? And when you're an I-9, you're an employee, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A 1090, or if you want to do, you're a W-2 worker, okay?
Right.
If you do a 1090, which means I don't pay your taxes in any shape, way, or form, you're an independent contractor, means that you can work for other people as well. You can choose when to do the work, how to do the work, as long as the work's done based upon your specifications and your scope. But you can't tell me how to do it. I don't have to come into the office, and I definitely don't go to meetings. Okay? So here's the problem. Recruiters, our industry is really, really bad at this. Well, Spitzer, the government, by the way, they're mean about this. The IRS and Department of Labor don't like it. They will come. Department of Labor will come after you for overtime. They'll come after you for back wages. They'll come back after you for all of that, Social Security, the whole deal. The IRS, they're even worse. They'll come back for interest penalties. They'll come back for your back penalties. They'll come back for, I mean, they'll hit you for every tax that they could hit you and any interest they can get on top of that. Well, Spitzer said in New York, what he's also going to do is add another penalty for called fraud.
Hmm.
You know, because you were being fraudulent by calling that employee a non-employee, a contractor.
So you can't say, I didn't know.
That's right. And so the thing is, I mean, this is the government or the Senate just said recently to the Department of Labor as well as to the IRS that they needed to crack down harder on this too. And I remember last year about June, because that was about the same time frame that the House said they were cracking down, there were about three people on ERE that were asking for advice on what to do because they were being busted. And I remember they were being busted for that. They were getting audit on this, okay? And if you're going to get an audit on it, that means you're going to lose more than likely. Now, what happens to you find is that sometimes companies will use staffing firms to misclassify employees. And by the way, you know who has been the worst offender so far?
Who?
The government.
And no.
The White House just got busted for a couple hundred million themselves. The White House.
Oh, that's bad.
Yep, they were misclassified.
Well, it was especially bad.
I mean, they time and all that stuff, and that's another thing. They don't want to pay overtime. So you went ahead and say, that's another thing, too. We'll classify you, like, for example, recruiters. Recruiters, by the way, must be paid overtime unless we're making more than $2,500, I think it was a month or something like that. Okay?
What if you're a contingency recruiter and you get paid only on commission?
That's not true. We can't be paid this commission if we're coming into an office. If you go into an office, if you're working there,
yeah,
you must be paid minimum wage plus time and a half.
So if I want to if I'm a manager, I want to get around that little thing, I'd say, everybody, hey, be virtual, work on your own schedule.
They can't do that because you're making them come into the office. You're being
boss. No, if I say don't come into the office.
Well, you're still being their boss. You can't be a boss. There can't be contractors. You can't pay a person in minimum wages unless they're outside sales. I mean, no wages unless they're outside sales. Outside salespeople are the only people that can actually be considered non-exempt from this stuff. Okay, where in other words, they're exempted, I should say, from having to be paid all of the, you know, FICA, BICAs and all that stuff, and minimum wage. Okay.
Mm.
Because I don't understand the whole dynamics on this, and I'm not a lawyer, but from what I've gathered is that because they're basically on their own, with their own schedule, doing their own meeting, they just come into the office and turn stuff in, and then they leave, and that's the own, and they do what they want. They're free willy. An outside salesperson pretty much is their own boss.
But and you can't treat recruiters that way.
We don't, because you're...
No, you can't. You can't treat them that under that, what you're saying, under statute, you can't.
Because it's your client, okay,
yeah.
And you're telling the recruiter what to do, you're telling the recruiter how to do what they're doing, you're telling the recruiter, based upon how the recruiter does the job and what you're involved with them, then they're not contractors. Unless, now you can have them as a contract worker if they're being 1099. That means you can't tell them what to do. They are working independently. You say, look, I've got a job to fill. If you want to fill it for me, here's what I need to have filled. Here's some ideas of what I can like to do. But do it. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if you can get me some candidates, I'd appreciate it. That's fine. And then they help you. That's a contractor. In other words, I'm not telling them what to do or how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they get paid based upon what they bring to the table.
There's so much in running a business.
And there is.
As soon as you start taking on employees, it just goes to a totally different thing.
Well, the thing is, the IRS does have 20 rules on their site that determines what a contractor is and what's not, right?
Right.
The problem is that people look at it and think it's black and white. And they specifically say, hey, no, you don't use what we have here as black and white. Don't say that this is, you know, this is it. This is how it is.
Right.
And by the way, recruiters should be compensated on a salary or fee basis of at least $455 per week.
$455 per week.
And that was before the wages had gone up, but they must be compensated at least $455 per week on a salary basis, or at least bring in that much money.
Hmm.
I mean, and that's the issue. That people don't.
Someone's going to want to talk to you a bit more in depth about that.
Yes.
And they can contact us, and we're running out of time. They can contact you through my email address because we share so much. Jim Stroud, JimStroud, at JimStroud.com. If you have any other questions or comments about
Before
what we talked
we do
about.
That, can I say something? I did find something I wanted to read, okay?
Okay, I was doing my wind up, but go ahead, real quick.
Okay, then we can wind up. In determining an independent contractor versus an employee, a couple of questions should be answered. The crucial one being, what is the relationship? Does the contracting department control the means and the methods for accomplishing the task, or is the individual sufficiently independent from the contracting department and its control? And once the relationship has been determined, departments must also establish if the independent contractor is permitted under the Civil Service Amendment and associated statutes and rules. In other words, the following must be considered in all independent contract relationships.
It sounds like a bunch of legalese. Make it
Hold
English.
On, this is quick. This is easy.
English.
Does the worker determine his or her own schedule, freely work for several other clients, have his or her own place of business, use his or her own equipment, and bill by an hourly rate or lump sum for specified deliverables? That's how you can help determine. And then above, the federal laws will also look at the amount of investment in the facilities and equipment relative to your investment, the amount of skill, initiative, judgment, or foresight required for the worker to succeed, and the worker's independence in the structure of the business organization and operation.
Okay, close it out.
Okay, and that's pretty much the general rule, that a leased worker should never repeat contracts, never participate in employee functions, have no offices or cubicles with their names posted similar to employees, have an assigned phone number, or receive performance recognition by the department. It's pretty standard.
Pretty standard indeed. If you have any questions or comments, you know what? You say this part because I said it already.
If you have any questions or comments, you can contact Jim Stroud at JimStroud .com. Oh, go ahead.
Oh,
that went up. Can I email you enough?
If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email Karen or myself at my email address, JimStroud, JimStroud, at JimStroud.com.
And Jim is going to be making an email just for me so you guys can email me directly.
Yes, I will. All right, so if all hearts and minds are clear, and I think they are, we're going to say bye-bye.
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 And thanks for listening. I know it was a little bit of a ramble.
Thanks for rambling. That's okay. That's why we love you.
Yeah, I hope so.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's JimStroud.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not.
Innovative Audio on Demand.